Blog Talk Radio.
Leading him to a championship and his second straight NBA Finals. James penetrates out. J.R. Smith, corner three. That's good for the first bucket of the game. It'll be interesting to see if there's any rust as Durant way off the mark. Pachulia with a left hand banks it home.
Kyrie Irving.
Pachulia gives up another open shot. Looked like he had a layup. Durant drives and finishes.
Played like 12 games in 40-some days.
Alley-oop three to Durant. 6 days for Cleveland. But even before that, they played very little basketball since the end of the regular season.
Outstanding defensive teams. So you're not going to get much easier.
Thompson gets to the rim. Ball tipped out. Durant trying to get it. James comes up with it. James finds Kyrie Irving. Open three. That's good. Andre Iguodala quickly comes in for Golden State. Irving drives. Scoop layup is good. Durant finds Pachulia. Pachulia this time stuffs it home. Klay Thompson. Andre Iguodala. For the Cavaliers.
Game seven, Mike, he gets 14 rebounds in 30 minutes. And he had a plus.
James now guarded by Iguodala. James kicks it out to Love. Right back inside. James realizing or not realizing was wide open.
And just think, you got some great players that had awesome careers as Curry knocks down the shot.
Incredible numbers in these playoffs. Irving with a spin but lost it. JaVale McGee, who just checked in. Throws it ahead. Here's Durant across the lane. Darren Williams has come on now for Cleveland. Pass up some good veterans on their bench. Tough pass all the way across, and Durant throws it down. Durant on the pull-up. McGee tips it out. Ball knocked loose. Picked up by McGee. And Curry able to nab it. Durant down the lane. Finds JaVale McGee. James fakes on a three, fires, and hits. He's been shooting 42%. James has 9 points, 3 assists. Durant, 10 points, 4 assists. Curry has it blocked from behind.
LeBron James versus Kevin Durant. It's special.
Pass inside. Tristan Thompson finds James.
But more importantly, at times, awful.
He won the Walter Kennedy as Steph Curry drains a long three-pointer, three assists. Nice pass to Tristan. Tristan Thompson. Oh, what a block by McGee. Curry gets past Deron Williams. Scoop layup, can't finish. McGee battling. Back out Curry. Corner three. Meanwhile, James has been to the free throw line 8 times already here in the first. Curry's got Tristan Thompson on him. Fakes, drives, layup. Oh, it's good. Off the glass. Irving drills the jumper. Kyrie Irving. McGee back to Durant. Durant finds Iguodala. Hits the three at the buzzer.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, that was pretty much the summation of the game last night where Golden State just trounces, destroys, Golden State annihilated the Cleveland Cavaliers in game one of the NBA Finals. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Mike M.E. Richmond, and I have the skills to pay the bills. I have no chill, and you know what? I don't chill. But hey, I am never alone, because this is Soulless Sports with the crew, and I got people with crazy knowledge like Hugo and Wally Wild on here, and trust me when I tell you, they know what they talking about, and there ain't nobody who can stop them from being stout in their knowledge.
And you can't beat that!
So I'm ready to go. This is where Barbershop Talk meets radio. How you doing? How you doing, Hugo? How you doing, Wally? Wow. Wow. The game last night, 113-91. And it wasn't even that close. Guys, tell me about game one, and what did you take away from game one last night?
Oh, my brother, testify, Michael. What's going on to you in the audience? Wally, what's going on, man? What a game last night, man. You know what? I'll be honest with you, man. I thought by halftime, you know, I saw LeBron having a double-double. I know that they were down. I think it was by what? They were down by 7 or 8 points, something like that. They were down at halftime.
Yeah.
And then what happened? It was just an offensive demolishment by the Golden State Warriors. Although LeBron James does prove for Cleveland, and Wally, correct me if I'm wrong, that he still is the whole team, man. What a game, man. What a game. I didn't expect it would be such a landslide by the Golden State Warriors, Wally.
It was to me, like I said it before, LeBron James is the best player on the planet, but in this series, he has to be the best player and some. 28-10, and I believe when he had 28-10-7 or 28-10-5, in terms of assists, I'm not sure how many assists he had. I think he had like 7 or 5, something like that. But when you look at, he can't, with what Kevin Durant brings to the table as a scorer, and because Golden State moves the ball so well, Kevin Durant's going to get his points, and he's going to dominate because it's easy scoring for him. You're talking about a scorer, and one of the most blessed scorers in basketball, having it to a point where he can play ISO basketball. He doesn't have to play ISO basketball to score 30 to 40 points, and it comes efficiently. And LeBron, when he's going against Steph Curry and Kevin Durant as a duo, because that duo is potent as a duo, he just can't beat LeBron James, who averages about 28. He's got to be LeBron, who's averaging in this series, averages 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. He has to have that kind of effort. He has to play like he played the first time when he lost to Golden State in part one, when he was, like, arguably, like, could have been MVP as a loser. You know what I mean? But he has to play like that with the help of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So he has to play at that level because he's going to have to offset somebody. He's going to have to offset a Klay Thompson. Because, sure, LeBron and Kevin Durant are going to offset each other to a certain extent, and you would hope that Kyrie Irving, you know, did what he did last season in the postseason. But LeBron has to be that extra player. He has to be an extra player in this series. If he's not an extra player, that's not good enough to beat this Golden State Warriors team. I'll say it again: this mob, this talent, this team in the finals is one of the best teams you're ever going to see in the finals ever. We're talking about two MVP candidates, not two good players, not two great players. Two MVP players on the same team. who are playing in their prime at the highest level right now on the same team as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant arguably could be the best duo we've seen in a long time.
Exactly. And as we go ahead and break down game one, I want to let you know that the reason why I didn't give you the particulars was simply this. We got to get into this thing because this is an hour of power. But just so you know, 347-637-3859 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation and tell us why you think, you know, why the Golden State Warriors are going to lose, which I will laugh at you personally because, you know, it may take six games, but I still see them winning, and I'll be more than happy to get my wing stop. In case you're wondering why our beloved friend, the Knox Master, is on assignment, and he'll be back with us after he's done with his assignment. I can't wait to get all the information back from him and what he's doing. So with that being said, I got to ask this question when it comes right down to it. We are right now in this argument with, you know, if we're in the media, we're in a part of the media, us being media pundits, with the fan bases who think they're smarter than media pundits and who think they do more research and who think they make more logical arguments than us in the media, Wally. The main thing that they say about game one, and I've been noticing, I tweeted one of these things at you, was that the comparison between LeBron James and Michael Jordan need to stop because Michael Jordan would have went down swinging while LeBron James padded his stat line and was passively playing. Wally, from your perspective, did you see a guy who was playing passive, or did you see a guy who, once again, because his game's different, he was trying to get other people involved and they weren't knocking down the shots they were supposed to knock down?
People may try to make too many excuses to try to find reasons to everything. The fact of the matter is that they're playing against a better team. LeBron James did what he did. In the beginning of the game, he was holding his own. He was probably, to be honest with you, other than him and Kyrie, the two players that would keep him in the game, because it could have been much worse. Because Kevin Durant was hungry. You saw he was ready. Like, Kevin Durant was ready. And LeBron was going at him. He hit a couple, he hit a three. So he wasn't passive. He was just playing this game. The fact of the matter, the issue in this game was, and it's the end-all result, is that you're playing against a dominant starting five. This is not a starting five that most people have seen ever. Like, I know it's easy. I mean, everyone wants to punch LeBron James. That's the easy target. But at the end of the day, you're going against a guy who scored about 60, 70 points in the game in Klay Thompson, who had an off night. You're going against the one – like, no, it's not an argument. The best scorer in the NBA today right now, Kevin Durant, in terms of how he can score the basketball efficiently. And then Steph Curry, a guy who has unlimited range, is the best pure shooter in the game right now, just off the dribbling, what he can do as a shooter. That alone is a headache. If you just had two of those players, those just a duo alone, that's good enough to give anybody a problem. Now you're a stacked team, and then you got the automatic role player in Draymond Green. It's a problem, man, and that's the reason why LeBron lost the game. It wasn't about him being passive or going soft, I guess playing scared. That didn't happen. He just got beat.
Hugo, when it comes right down to what we have here in Golden State and Cleveland, a lot of people want to recognize, as Wally just pointed out, the KD factor. And that how KD, for whether you like him or appreciate him as a man or don't, when he made his decision to go to Golden State, they wanted to pretend, and mine, this is just me, they wanted to pretend as though KD never dropped 30 in the finals before. Or it's been so long since he's been there, they didn't realize that he can score, and he doesn't necessarily need the motivation of beating LeBron James or having to go to say Warriors behind him to do it. Because I've seen his stat line, and when they played in the 2012 NBA Finals, he was dropping 30 per game anyway. So this is what KD just brings to the table. So it was KD the tipping point for a 73-win team to get back to get another championship, or is he just doing what he normally does and he's just adding his already great talent to an already great team?
Oh, obviously it's adding a plus into the team. I mean, the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant are still a championship-caliber team, and we saw that in Cavs-Warriors Part 1. It's just now, obviously, the Golden State Warriors have learned from the last from the last series in Golden State and Cleveland Part 2, you know, adding Kevin Durant was the missing factor for the Golden State Warriors to finally become, once again, a championship team. Obviously, listen, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, all those dudes over there at Golden State without Kevin Durant could definitely make it happen. But now Kevin Durant, who's hungry, and Wally, I think you would agree with me that when it was OKC and Miami, when LeBron and KD faced off for the first time in the finals, a lot of people thought that Oklahoma City was a better team than the Miami Heat. I mean, just because and they were much younger at that time. Remember, they had James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka. That team was enough to beat the Miami Heat. Obviously, Miami wanted it more. They already had one NBA Finals already under the belt. They finally were able to mesh together, and they completely decimated the Oklahoma City Thunder. Excuse me, I almost said the Oklahoma City Warriors. But what I was going to say is that now Kevin Durant, like Wally just said, he's hungry. He wants that title. He doesn't give a damn what people think about him going to Golden State. He wants a championship, and Golden State did right in bringing Kevin Durant to replace that missing link that obviously dropped them the last finals in a 3-1 deficit for Cleveland to win. So I think Golden State did well. Kevin Durant obviously adds that firepower. He adds that experience that Golden State Warriors do need. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am afraid that this series is going to be a wash. And, I mean, imagine that. In NBA history, for the Golden State Warriors to go 16-0 with Kevin Durant there, Wally, I could see it happening, man.
I'll say this in terms of agreeing with Hugo is that if LeBron isn't special, like I mean, LeBron can be good, like that's good, that's fine. You could be LeBron numbers 30, but you got to be special, like to beat this team. If he's not special, if he's just good, he can get swept. Like, he can get swept. Like, this team, like, this Golden State Warriors team is no joke. Like, what they're doing is amazing. Like, they're blowing out squads easily. And in the postseason, you have your lulls and whatnot, where there's sometimes in the postseason, you don't get up for every game because it's a 7-game series and people figure you out too, and things get kind of sluggish and whatnot. But they've shown that they've been the more dominant team, period. Like, there is nothing any team can do about it. So I'm going to say it again. Is this easy? LeBron has to dominate because Steph Curry is going to get open shots because he's playing with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's going to get open shots because he plays with Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, who's a knockdown shooter, is going to get open shots because he's playing with Steph and Kevin Durant. Draymond Green is going to get set shots all day because you got to take something away, and you're going to live with Draymond Green shooting threes. So, like, LeBron has to impose his will and be special. Not good. He's going to have one of the all-time greatest final moments to beat this Golden State Warriors team. So if he doesn't play like that, they can get swept. I totally agree with that. They can get swept. I just have faith in the ability of LeBron James to be special in two nights. And now that's why I feel like he won't get swept.
So you basically saying that for Cavs to even have a chance, that LeBron James is pretty much going to have to do when they got beat, when they lost to the Golden State Warriors the first time. He's going to have to drop 40. When he didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie, he's going to have to drop 40 at the least as a point scorer. But see, this is what I'm trying to get at. You know, people want LeBron James to take over a game and dominate, so that if they're pulling like a Nick Wright, for example, who we know that if he had the chance to clean LeBron, he would, the way he talks about him so much. But it's just some realistic things we have to look at. If LeBron gets going and he dominates the game, does that take away from somebody else's rhythm, or should that inspire the teammates, the Kevin Love and Kyrie, to say, hold on, LeBron's going in, I need to go ahead and be aggressive too and stop letting these guys do whatever they want?
I'm not saying it like to a point where he has to dominate and score like 50. I guess I'm confusing a little bit. I think that he has to dominate to a point where he's taking over everything. Like, you could still be, when I mean dominate, you could still do it and scoring 30 and getting 10, 15 assists, 20. You could just tell, like, it has to be on his pace and his terms. Everything has to be on his terms. Like, he can attack the basket and set somebody up. LeBron has to do it all. Like, we saw years ago when he played the Celtics in Boston, I believe, and he played for the Miami Heat, and where he scored 40-something points, but still he dominated. He dominated the game as a floor general, like getting everybody involved, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen, like all these individuals. He got these individuals involved and got them, you know, got them flowing. It just, he has to get to a point where he's dominating the whole game. And he can get Kevin, like, by doing that, sure. LeBron going to the basket, he finds Kevin Love on the baseline open for, I mean, on the corner open for a wide three or from the elbow three. Kyrie Irving, when LeBron's going off, he's not going to play every, you know, he's not going to play the whole game. But you got, that's Kyrie's turn time. But LeBron has to impose his will. He has to impose his will. He has to be special.
So how much, outside of them being special offensively, defensively, as I was watching the game, and I was watching the 15th, was it the 15th or the 16th dunk that Kevin Durant had? I'm exaggerating, of course. But every time I saw him dunk, I was saying to myself, how come they're not stopping him from dunking? And then I looked off to the corner. Yeah, but at the same time, I saw a little, it's kind of funny, Mama Richmond, Mama Lee called this boy a rat, called Steph Curry a rat. She said he looked like a rat. But I've seen the little rat, I was going to refer to him, scurrying down the court aside from Kevin Durant, and it goes to your point that KD gives Steph Curry something that he had last year, but it was difficult for him to do more so as the finals really got picked up, and that was really get those open shots and those open looks, the easy open looks. And once Steph was failing, I was like, oh, that's why they can't. That's why they're not stopping Kevin Durant, because I'd rather give up 2 points in an open three, because once that open three gets fired up, then I guess Draymond will start hitting threes, and then Clay will actually find his stroke, and he'll start hitting threes, and then we're going to lose by 40. But did you see that on the defensive end, Hugo Wild? Did you see that on the defensive end when it came to what they had open, what they had available, that Kevin Durant, being the efficient and dominant scorer that he is, getting creating shots no matter what, you know, he drew the attention to, okay, well, you got to pick your poison. Either he dunks or Steph Curry shoots a three. Which one would you rather take in that situation, Wally? Are you stopping the ball and forcing them to slow down, forcing them to take a three? Because even though they're efficient at 3 points, they still miss. Would you rather take that chance, or would you rather just go ahead and give the easy two and then get back down and then try to counter with maybe a three or a high percentage shot on your own?
Well, they're going to adjust. They're going to have to adjust. They did pretty much did the same thing they did last, you know, did last year. But the problem is, like Harrison Barnes isn't Kevin Durant. That's the issue. So in a closeout, when Kevin Durant's open, if you close out on Harrison, like Harrison Barnes can take that shot 9 times out of 10, or he may try to, you know, take it to the basket. But Kevin Durant is so versatile. You don't once you try to close out Kevin Durant, he got a quick step. I mean, he can go to the basket. He can shoot over you. He's versatile. He's Kevin Durant. So so they got an advantage off of that alone. But what they're going to have to do is that they're going to have to really double down on making people like Draymond Green. This is going to sound funny, Klay Thompson beat you. Because, again, if Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are your two high scorers, they're not going to be Golden State. Like, they're not. You're going to have to find a way to really say, okay, you know what? I'd rather have Draymond or Klay Thompson dominate the game rather than Steph and Clay. I mean, Steph and Kevin Durant. So if I'm Ty Lue, there's a lot of adjustments I'm going to have to make. Even like JaVale McGee to me was an X factor. They're going to have to play around with that. Like maybe not having Richard Jefferson out there as much. Maybe play Channing Frye a little bit more so he can kind of stretch him out. And that way you can, like, now you negate having a JaVale McGee out there on the team. Like, they're going to do a lot of things to kind of try to combat what Golden State did. But in terms of, like, defensively, and Kevin Durant being open or giving up the dunk rather than the three, I think they played it the way they can play it. They just, unfortunately, again, the Golden State has great ball movement, and they don't play ISO basketball. So they're not going to allow you to sit your feet and say, you know what, we're going to wait on you to do a make a move. They move the ball.
So, 347-637-3859. Go ahead, Hugo.
Yeah, I wanted to ask something for Wally. All right, so what does Cleveland have to do? Because we've talked about Golden State and obviously the X factor and everything, but what does Cleveland have to do to turn the series around? because I'm calling it turning around, because obviously with what I saw yesterday, I think Golden State's going to win it. I'm not going to say they're going to get swept, because I don't think LeBron James and Kyrie Irving will allow that to happen. However, it could definitely be a short series. So what does Cleveland have to do to turn around after yesterday's abysmal performance, not by LeBron or Kyrie?
What Cleveland has to do, I think, again, I think Kyrie has to play better. I think Kevin Love has to play better. I think the bench, I think, to me, in my opinion, Tyronn Lue has to do a better job. I thought he was outcoached by Mike Brown. I didn't like his sub pattern. I'm still living off of what Richard Jefferson did for you last year. I played Iman Shumpert way more than I played Richard Jefferson. I would not, to be honest with you, unless Richard Jefferson gave me a quick spark, I'm taking him out. He's just not a guy that I can feel like I can rely on him to play great defense at his age right now and knock down the shot consistently. I know Iman Shumpert's played pretty well, and he's a better defender right now at this point in time in his career. But I would also think about, again, Golden State scores the basketball. You got a guy in Channing Frye who they will leave open, and is a knockdown shooter. I would definitely try to take advantage of that. And also, to be real with you, I would tell Kyle Korver to step up and man up. I thought Kyle Korver, I think the moment got to him, he was missing shots that I thought were layups for him. So that's another thing. But I think there, to me, other than the big three in Cleveland, their role players do have to step up. And also, and again, and like I mentioned before, I think Tyronn Lue needs to step up too as a coach and adjust better, because Golden State haven't shown you anything different. They've had the same game plan for the last two seasons against this Cleveland Cavaliers team. You know, so it's going to be up to Tyronn Lue to adjust and to me utilize his bench a little bit better than what he did in game one.
Exactly. So. I've been talking with Brother Nero Nimzy on my personal chat, and he talks about how that not just LeBron James but the team, Kyrie and the rest of the team need to play better and more physical defense, and that you know, the last night James played well as far as some parts of the stat line, but a lot of that gets negated because of the amount of turnovers that he had individually, and that the team is settled like a deer in the headlights. This is just his opinion. And he also attests that the refs called a one-sided game, and even that Mark Jackson and Van Gundy was saying and noticing how the refs was calling a one-sided game for the Golden State Warriors, kind of like that home team discount thing. Hugo, do you agree with Brother Nero Nimzy's sentiments? Wally, do you agree with Brother Nero Nimzy's sentiments?
Nah, because they got beat. Like, I don't blame refs unless, you know, it's close. You got beat. You know what I mean? Like, you get beat, that's different. Like, any league you play in or whatever, if you're getting dominated and you're missing, like, you're turning the ball over, like was referenced, like, you turn the ball over, you didn't make shots, Kyrie was turning the ball over, LeBron was turning the ball over, Kyle Korver wasn't making open jump shots, I don't blame refs. Like, the refs can do with so much unless it's a close game to me. But when you get dominated, when you're getting hit in the body blows, and you're not, you know, you're not taking care of your assignments, you're not, you know what I'm saying, you're not moving the ball, you're not making shots that you're normally accustomed to making, then, yeah, I'm on the side of saying, like, I can't blame the refs. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with in terms of, like, LeBron turning the ball over, I'm with that. Like, LeBron and Kyrie, I thought at certain times you saw them playing, you saw too much isolation. Sometimes, you know, Kyrie Irving, obviously, he's blessed and he's gifted with his ball handling. You saw at times where he was over-dribbling trying to get by Klay Thompson, and Klay Thompson played some good defense on Kyrie Irving at times. So, in my opinion, I think they need more ball movement, but I won't blame the refs because I just they got beat. They got handed to them.
Hugo, I was reading Brother Nero Nimzy's comments on the game.
Did you catch those? Sorry, I didn't hear.
Okay, because you know we don't like it when you just die off like that, man. It's okay, it's good. Glad your mic's working. Brother Nero, he said that not just James and Kyrie, but the team needs to play more physical defense, and that they lost. Because LeBron James, while he played well, he had a lot of turnovers, so it negated all the things that he did last night because of the turnovers.
Right. No. They obviously played soft yesterday. I think Cleveland, especially in the second half, turning the ball over, it was just all comedy. I definitely agree with the sentiment. Definitely, they have to harden up. No more of this soft play. No more of this turnovers. I think that if Cleveland could definitely fix that, as well to also make points off the paint, or Is it off the paint or on the paint? So, well, off the paint, I think they'll be okay. But they definitely have to go ahead and be tougher. They have to be a tougher team and eliminate the turnovers. If we do that, we'll have a series. If they don't do that, Wally, I'm telling you right now, I'll put myself on blast right now. I will lock it up because this is Lock It Up Fridays. If they don't turn up and they don't toughen up, that's it. It'll be a sweep. I hope not for the sake of all of us because we definitely want a, you know, a hell of a finals.
You better
but
lock
they
it up.
Have
you
to
lock it up.
Stop
lock it up.
Playing
lock it up.
Cool.
Lock it up.
Man, he's locking up a sweep. Gosh. I don't think, once again, locking up a sweep if they don't play. Yeah, if they keep on playing soft. Which I don't think for one second that, because I know LeBron James goes zero dark 30, as he likes to say, and he does not on social media, but I know where it gets back to about something gets said, so it's like something gets said about Kevin Durant. I put in our special chat about the Nike thing that everything he's soft. Well, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
My sincere apologies to anybody who was a Kevin Durant washer of his basketball. But I'm sorry, you were the most and are still the most efficient scorer in the NBA. Dropping 30 for you is just a walk in the park. You went to a team that pretty much handed you your manhood, and then you said, you know what, you handed me my manhood, can I marry you, because that's probably the only way I'm going to get it back, and that's what you did. Grown men, not his basketball decision, grown men that I know, and I'm in the millennial generation, so we already consider some of the softest people and the softest clean clothes ever, but even in the millennial generation, that wasn't cool. Okay? So, I'm sorry. You're soft, KD. You are a fantastic basketball player. And if you and I got in a fight as men, hey, you may actually win. You are 7 feet. You know, I may go ahead and scrape your kneecaps up a little bit, maybe give you a good uppercut, but you may still win. But guess what, though? I still have my pride as a man. You don't. That's just me. That's my opinion. You don't like it. Listen anyway. Yes,
Mike,
you do.
You're such a hater.
I'm not a hater. A hater is a guy who goes out on Twitter and says LeBron James isn't a top 50 defender because KD went off. Like, KD can't score anybody. KD can score on Kawhi. I mean, come on. And we already know the elite defender that Kawhi Leonard is. Okay? KD was scoring. KD was scoring when he was playing against Golden State last year. He was scoring just fine on them. So don't hit me with that. I'm hating. No, I ain't hating on anything. I respect his game. I do respect him as a man. I respect his basketball game. And this instance for this decision, I do not respect him as a man. Just like I didn't respect LeBron as a man when he did his decision dumping his girlfriend Cleveland Cavaliers on TV like that. You don't do that. That was rude. That was rude.
Okay, but do you restore LeBron's manhood for going back to Cleveland? You know, to obviously winning that city a championship in over God knows how long, but what, 40, 45 years? Now, do you respect?
Oh no, of course. No, I have no question about who LeBron James is as a man. Now he knew what decision he did. He knew what he did. He knew what he had to go back to do to fix things, and he did it in one of the most spectacular fashions that you could ever ask for. Second only to, you know, someone Chicago Cubs doing the same thing the same year against Cleveland. So I just thought I had to mention the Cubs in there just because. So we talked about the Cavs defense. But this is my question, fellas, and I'll start with you on this one, Hugo. For as good as Golden State is offensively, have we been vastly underrating their defense? I mean, some turnovers just happen on their own, but some of the turnovers are created. And a lot of those turnovers last night was created by the Golden State Warriors. Are we underrating their team defense?
Well, when we think about the Golden State Warriors, we think about how much of a scoring machine that team is. Definitely, their defense is definitely underrated, and you're right. A lot of the turnovers yesterday were actually made. However, obviously you said it as well. I don't want to play devil's advocate. The Cleveland Cavaliers obviously came out soft and turned the ball over a lot. For no apparent reason. In fact, I remember one of them. I think where LeBron just threw it straight into Kevin Durant's hands, and he dunked it on him. So yes, they are underrated. But obviously, what overshadows them is what they could actually do in offense and how many points they could actually score in a game. What about you, Wally?
So it's crazy. So I think I feel like I've underrated like Draymond Green's defense a little bit more. And no, actually, not even Draymond. I've actually appreciated defense. I've underrated like Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson, I know he was a good defender, but I had a lot of respect for him. You know, what he did with Kyrie Irving, I think that's like one right now in terms of ball handling, what's one of the more complicated individuals to try to defend. And as a team defense as a whole, I mean, we saw him strap up in San Antonio at times and other teams. And even without Kawhi Leonard, San Antonio runs great sets and they're a great offensive team in terms of designing of their offense. And they did a great job against that team defensively. So I just looked at, like, Golden State has always been one of the better defensive teams in the league. Arguably, could be the best team defensive team in the league. The way they kind of move on a pick and roll, how they their rotations are always clean and crisp. How the next man always steps up after somebody's getting beat. They play good team defense. So yeah, I didn't underrate their defense as a unit, but I did underrate particular players defensively as individual defenders.
347-637-3859 is the number to call. You want to get in on the conversation and tell us why we crazy. Actually, we're not. We're actually pretty smart with what we talk about here. We're intelligent sports fans. We don't have to also live in the moment. We also tell you about the next moment. And, fellas, I am of the belief that I, too, have underrated Golden State's overall defense. And one of the things I didn't underrate, but I overrated coming into this series was the Cavs' ability to get rebounds. And the reason why I overrated because I was thinking, well, Tristan Thompson's going to be a ball hawk. He's going to have energy. LeBron James, best player on the planet. He gets rebounds like no one's business. You know, Kyrie has effort at max, and he'll get rebounds on people. And then I thought about something. That entire Boston series, they were getting outworked on the offensive glass. And I kept looking at that Boston series, and I watched every game, and I said to myself, if that was Golden State, they would make them pay for second and third chance points, third chance shots. And gosh darn it, if last night when Golden State got second and third chance opportunities, they made Cleveland pay. Are they going to have to do some kind of big lineup? Wally, are they going to do some kind of lineup with more big guys who can do more rebounding so that way Golden State doesn't have the advantage in offensive rebounds to get those second and third, in some cases, four chances? Or Cleveland got the tools necessary, already got the players necessary, and it's just what we've been talking about. They just got to stop playing soft. They're going to have to get dirty, going to have to get gritty and get real physical against the Golden State Warriors.
They got to score. Golden State's going to score. They got to score. I mean, that's pretty much what they got to do.
But one of the things that I noticed about this team is that their defensive rebounds, while should be good, were really, 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 really bad. And that was against Boston, who could not make them pay. And so now against Golden State, they're going to make them pay, as Nero Nemes says, defense wins championships, which we already know, and I definitely agree. But I'm trying to give Cleveland some kind of okay shot to win more than just two games in this series, and I see it by limiting the amount of chances, because Kevin Durant's going to be efficient regardless. But limited amount of chances that Steph Curry has, limited amount of chances that Steph Klay Thompson can actually find himself as a shooter, and limiting open shots from guys may feed into what they're doing, like an Iguodala, whatever have you, who may get inspired to start taking threes himself. How do they limit those opportunities for Golden State?
You're not going to limit. Like, this is my thing. You don't limit greatness. That's the thing you don't do. Like, when you look at, like, Steph, you're not going to limit Steph. Like, that's what you got. Like, that's the thing. You're not going to limit Steph. That's like me saying I'm going to limit, like in terms of a score, if you're a score, I'm, like, trying to limit a Kyrie Irving when, you know, he could be off, but he's going to go off. Like, trying to limit a Carmelo Anthony or trying to limit a LeBron James. Like, you don't limit when you're one of the best players in the world. What you do try to limit is the good players or the role players. And my thing about that is that you're going to have to try to find a way. And the hustle points, like what you're referring to, Micah, I do agree. Like, you're going to have to go on the boards. They're going to have to get scrappy. But that's desire. Rebounding is not always about heart. It's about, about height or power. It's about desire. That's why Tristan Thompson is such a great rebounder. It's not that he's just super tall than anybody else, but he has a lot of desire for the Cleveland Cavs. They need like Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson to step up. That's what they need in terms of rebounding. They need to step up. They got to show more heart when it comes to rebounding. You know, and more Kevin Love to Tristan Thompson. They got to really be over. They got to go above and beyond the call of duty for that purpose, to get more opportunities, offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds in terms of limiting Golden State's opportunity to score, and offensive rebounds, get themselves an opportunity to score by getting offensive rebounds. So I think in that regard, yeah, I agree. Like, I think in terms of want, because rebounding is an effort thing and a desire thing, and I think Golden State, to be honest with you, they wanted it more, and I agree with that. But at the end of the day, in terms of what they can do to negate a Stephen Curry, you're not going to stop. You're not going to limit Steph. You can't really like it, especially when you have Kevin Durant on the team. It's too hard to. It's really hard. But you can do your best to try to make somebody else beat you by leaving someone open. Then they kind of may concede to give it to somebody else.
Game two, Hugo. We'll start with you. It's something we can get, so we go ahead and lock that up. Because, you know, as we do all the time on Fridays, we got that little, you know.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
So, game two, Hugo, who's going to win game two and go to state?
I'm afraid. If they come out playing soft, I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State takes it. However, I don't think LeBron James or Kyrie Irving are going to allow that to happen. I think the team will regroup. And I'm going to go with, they will be back at the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio, Tuesday or Wednesday. The series will be tied 1-1, and I am going with the Cleveland Cavaliers to win game two. Lock it up, Micah. Lock it up.
Ooh,
you better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right. So, Wally, who wins game two in Oakland? Yeah, Oakland. Who wins game two in Oakland and why?
All right, best player in the world is going to be desperate. That alone tells you what's like they should win the game. I think the desperate team wins this game. The desperate player wins this game. And that means I think you're going to see him put it all out there on the table. I would be surprised if he's even subbed out, because they go down 2-0. The series is over. Like, I agree with, like, this series is over. So I have Cleveland winning, like, game two.
All right, you're going to go ahead and.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right, guys. I'm going to tell you exactly who's going to win game two. And why. And the people who's going to win game two, the best team on the court on Sunday, will be the referees. No, I'm just kidding. It won't be the referees. I have to agree with you, Wally. I think that one of the things that we kind of fail to understand is that, if I remember the stat correctly, in game one of the NBA Finals, I think LeBron is 1-7. I think he's 1-7 in game ones of NBA Finals. In fact, last year when they were getting trounced, the first two games of those finals, well, they ended up coming back and winning game three, and then they lost game four, and then they just railed and rolled over Golden State in three more games. So it's not too far-fetched to see a team that was deficient with what they got, what they had last year, to what they have now, that he will be able to come back in game two. So I think that the people that say LeBron doesn't have a killer instinct, that LeBron doesn't have a killer instinct, that LeBron doesn't have the same intangibles as one MJ, which I don't think MJ has LeBron intangibles either. They're two different kind of people. They're dealing with two different kind of eras, and I think they're two very, very special GOATs for their era. And, of course, there's a reason why Michael Jordan is held in higher regard than a guy who has more championships than he does. So I believe that LeBron is going to step up. He's going to take over. He's going to say, you know what? I'm going to dominate. I'm going to make people foul me. I'm going to go to the free throw line, actually knock down my free throws for a change, and I think that's actually going to happen. I think Kyrie's going to take over too. And Kyrie dropped a decent amount of points, but I think Kyrie's also going to go off, and I think he'll be over 30 in game two. I think Kevin Love is going to have some fantastic open looks, and I think we actually will see J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver actually score a bucket, and J.R. Smith actually be more involved offensively than he was in game one yesterday. So give me the Cavs, and not in a blowout fashion, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I think Cavs are going to also win game two.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Wally, just as a side note, before we get into some of the conversations, other conversations for this weekend, because we got UFC 212, and I can't wait to talk to Hugo about that, because Hugo's been schooling me and educating me on UFC and why I should like it, and why it's the best thing in the world. Next to his game that he likes, it's something about the Champions League or something over in the across the pond in some place where they play with a ball and they kick it around. I think it's called soccer over here or something. But I'm just messing. You know, one of the things that was asked in the chat was, why is Golden State hated so much? Why hate them, Wally? Why they hating on them so much? Are we just haters? Do we not like dominance? Do we not like dynasties? Or is it the way Golden State has been formed this last year that has so much backlash from everybody that's not a bandwagon fan?
They started being hit little by little last year. It just happened. You know what I mean? At first they were like the media darlings when they first, you know, the first championship, you know, because LeBron was the bad guy, and they were the positive thing in the NBA. And then all of a sudden, you know, they got 73 wins. Now everybody, you know, then they started having a little more swag to them. That's basketball, though. Folks start to feel a particular way and feel pretty confident about themselves when they're starting to, you know, put out their dominance, and you know, people started disliking it. Then you add Kevin Durant and made it worse. That's all. People started to dislike, you know, champions and people who start to dominate at a consistent level, you know, and that's what it is. I saw it during the Kobe Shaq era, saw it with the Bulls era. You see it. And the Yankees in baseball, the Red Sox to a certain extent in baseball. So that's nothing new. And even media coverage, too, at the same time plays a part in that, too. Media coverage plays a part, too.
Yeah, and a lot of people online and stuff sound like Nick Wright, and we need to be a little bit more honest about our biases before we go to rush to judgment. I will say our brother Nero Nimzy, he is also going with the Cavs. And because here's one of the things that people don't understand. That I think they don't give LeBron James enough credit for, and this is his opinion, is that at the end of the game, they got destroyed, right? They got destroyed. He took the time to stop and talk to everyone in the Cavs team on that roster who just got destroyed and to motivate them and to get their heads back into the game and get them ready for the next game. And I'm in agreement with Brother Nimzy on that. Because I think that's something important. You know, we always talk about the greatness of basketball players. When the greatness of any player is, do they make the guys around them better? And we separate guys from all-star level to superstar level to Mount Rushmore GOAT level based on just their individual greatness and how they impact the teams around them. And I think LeBron James don't get enough credit for how he impacts the team around him, how he inspires the teammates to and empowers the teammates around him to take ownership. Hugo, do you think that maybe we're forgetting, based on what Brother Nero Nimzy said, that we need to remember that one of the things that made LeBron James great is that he empowers other people to be as great as he is?
Wait, but what? Okay, so Brother Nero just saying that at the end of the game, that he's a motivator? So that I agree that he's a motivator? That's the question?
Sorry. Well, that's what he said. He took his time. One of the things that made LeBron James great was that after they got destroyed, he took the time to motivate his team in the tunnel. They were in the locker room. He stopped in the tunnel. So
the thing is that he's a leader. he's a leader. He is a leader no matter. I mean, you obviously see it on the court. You see it you see it on the sideline. You see it in the tunnel. You see it in the locker room. You also see it in press conferences. Definitely LeBron James is the leader. And I'll be honest, it's been a while since I've seen it in the NBA be so empowering how LeBron James is. Listen, I am no LeBron lover. All right, all of you guys know that I do not love LeBron James because of what he actually did when he decided to come to the Miami Heat. But at the end of the day, I do respect what the man does, how much of a general he is, not only off the court, but also off the court as well, and how much he takes the time to be able to motivate his team to success. And I think that's obviously what has made him so successful, not only in Cleveland, but also when he was in Miami. Because if you saw when he was in Miami, he was also not only the leader, but he was also the general, the ringmaster, everything inside the Miami Heat locker room. So that's what definitely makes LeBron James great.
Fantastic. Okay, so we got everyone's locked in. Everyone's good to go. Hugo, I turn to you and your education of this mixed martial arts. UFC 212 this weekend, Hugo Chavez by Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway. Should I buy this, or am I just like, should I just step away and just go to a restaurant with my wife and my son and just eat? Is it a buy?
To buy or not to buy? That is the question. Well, Micah, it definitely is a card to buy. And I'll tell you the reason why. All right? Because when we're limited on time, we only have roughly about 9 minutes. And I'm going to tell you the reason why it is to buy. Jose Aldo, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the UFC. Obviously, right now, he actually decided to go into featherweight. He also he also flirted with lightweight. If you guys do know about one Jose Aldo, he's been in the ring with the octagon with the baddest man in UFC right now, Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor completely Jose Aldo when people thought Jose Aldo was going to go out and completely demolish Conor McGregor. Well, at UFC 200, we saw Jose Aldo come from his senses and completely destroy Frankie Edgar. And now we are here to watch Jose Aldo versus another man that is bad in Max Holloway. Max Holloway has been on a run in the UFC. He hasn't lost a fight in roughly about 11 matches, and they go head-to-head for the interim featherweight championship. And you know what? I'm just going to put it out there right now. On top of that as well, you have Vitor Belfort, one of my favorite fighters. Obviously, we do know that he has fallen off the map. Kind of sucks for Vitor, but definitely one of my favorite middleweight fighters. I definitely wish he would actually get back on top of the ranks in the middleweight division. I definitely would like to see him back in the title picture. Last time we saw him in the title picture, he lost to Chris Weidman. And we also have one of my favorites, Yancy Medeiros, the kid from Hawaii. Oh, Micah, it definitely is a card to buy. I cannot wait. I am excited. And you know what? I'm going to lock it up right now for you. It is time for Max Holloway to become the undisputed featherweight UFC champion of the world. So lock up for me. As much as I love Jose Aldo, Max Holloway, because I think he's hungrier, and he is definitely a bad man, Micah, bad man.
Wow, well, I got to definitely take care of that.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Wow, and you know what? I got to break it. It's a breaking news.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Brother Nero Nimzy is calling his shot. Second round TKO for Max Holloway at UFC 212. He's calling it second round TKO.
I don't know what's wrong with you. You're being disrespectful to Jose Aldo. It is going to go the distance. It'll be a split decision. I don't know what is wrong with Brother Nero, and I cannot wait to watch that match tomorrow. It's going to be exciting, Micah. So definitely go ahead and buy, man.
Yeah, that's definitely a reason why it's why he's called the nefarious Brother Nero. So here's my question for you, Hugo. I'm looking at this fight card, and you say it's a buy. I'm perfectly fine with that. There's ladies on the prelims and the main card, and I'm trying to figure out some stuff. Claudia Gadela and Carolina Kowalkiewicz. Kowalkiewicz, got it. So I'm just saying, I saw the name and I said, you know, I'm gonna butcher this the first time just for laughs. Nah, shit. Anyway, Kowalkiewicz. Why do I not know who these people are? Because even as a casual fan, I knew who Ronda Rousey was, and I knew how they marketed Ronda Rousey. And as soon as Amanda Nunes, I holler home. But as one great host called her, the Buster Douglas of UFC. When Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes got their titles, I haven't heard about the women's division or Karen ever since. Why is that the UFC can't figure out a way to get me, a casual, to be interested in their women's division beyond just Ronda Rousey? Is it just that we don't have a phenom? I can't get into Cyborg because Cyborg's a dude. So, I mean, you know.
Right. Cyborg.
Allegedly.
It could be classified as a dude, but no, they definitely have a fantastic women's division. Carolina Kowalkiewicz is definitely, I would say, pound for pound, the third best female fighter in the whole entire UFC. This chick is bad. 31 years old, the Polish princess. I'm definitely a huge fan of her. Obviously, my girl Joanna Wojcik, I think I pronounced that right, is the baddest woman in the UFC right now, outside of Ronda Rousey, outside of Amanda Nunes, even Ronda Rousey after the fight, after the losses against Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes, Holly Holm and Miesha Tate, she hasn't been the same. So obviously right now I think Ronda Rousey is old news. It is now time for the new women's division, which is the strawweight division. Definitely the casual fans should now start putting attention onto the strawweight division because they have nothing but amazing talent, and Carolina Kowalkiewicz is definitely bad. Unfortunately, the last fight that she had was back in November. She lost by decision for the title. However, it went the distance, and I would not be surprised if they definitely do meet up if she were to win this fight, Micah. So if you want to start watching UFC women's, I suggest you start watching the strawweight division.
All right. Well, fantastic to know. So, Wally, UFC 212, you heard what Hugo said. Are you buying? I'm Ron Burgundy. I guess Wally's not buying.
What happened?
Are you buying UFC 212?
You asking the wrong person, man. When I don't buy pay-per-view, you asking the wrong person.
So are you going to the nearest Buffalo Wild Wings and grab you some wings and watch it on their TV?
Probably won't do that because we got a basketball banquet, so I'm gonna be at a banquet.
That's way more important. Got the basketball banquet this weekend. Here you go, real quick. What you got for this weekend, man? What your plans? Outside of watching NBA Finals game too.
Let me go ahead and lock it up. I'm going to go ahead and lock up the Champions League final tomorrow live from Cardiff. Real Madrid faces Juventus. The best team in right now in Europe, in my opinion, is Juventus. They're trying to get to win a Champions League since 2005. So I'm going with Juventus. That's what I got going on. UFC 212 as well. Micah, what you got this weekend?
Man, I got to do some work stuff like that. I got to do some work and stuff, and I am checking out WWE Monday Night Raw Extreme Rules, because that's pretty much all it is just Monday Night Raw Extreme Rules. It's not really anything. It's not, who cares about it? But I don't know. It's all good. But, hey, guys, it's about time to get up out of here. So here's what we're going to do, okay? I want to let you know that sometimes I do make this show about me. It's the name Emmy Richmond. But you know what? It's all about you. Speaking of you, don't forget to always tune in to us, Fox Sports 1340 AM in Hopewell, also 99 FM. We are the Soul of Sports with the crew. And as always, folks, love you.
game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Great cash, homie.
This is the Soulless Voice, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're not down with that, we are too.